Hi, I'm Chris Spezak, and this is the Words You Should Know podcast. A few stolen minutes out of your day to talk words and communication. Because our daily lives are surrounded by the evolution of and influence of words. Forget the grammar police. There is so much more to this conversation. Welcome to episode 31. Let's talk the latest in words, language, and writing news. Here's your update. If you've ever been frustrated and wanted to just bang your hands on the keyboard, you might have some sympathy for the writer for Walmart who appeared to do just that in a recent press release shared on their possible new relationship with TikTok. In the midst of a professional announcement, there was a 44-character pile of gibberish. Did a cat walk across a keyboard with a final flourish of a paw on that send button? Was there simply stress involved? We may never know. The mistake was caught quickly, of course, but we saw you, Walmart. Let's all keep working on our editing together, okay? Of course, what is gibberish to some may not be gibberish to all. For our second story, there was also recently an unfortunate and offensive hijacking of selections of Gurmukhi, the name for the written script of Punjabi, a language spoken by roughly 130 million people around the world, as well as the hijacking of written Amharic, one of the two main languages of Ethiopia, spoken by around 22 million people. Now, admittedly, I'm trying to do justice to the pronunciation of these languages, so if anyone could clarify this for me, please do not hesitate to reach out. Now, all of these hijackings most recently came about because of a viral response to President Donald Trump's COVID-19 diagnosis. The copy and paste of a selection of text from these languages, with alphabets many in the United States might not be familiar with, were being used synonymously with an idea of magic, hexing, and cursing. Now, admittedly, Twitter commentary, as well as anything online, can absolutely get out of hand. But hijacking a language you don't understand and creating it as a stand-in for something demonic, barbaric, or even just strange isn't helping the division so extreme already in this world. When we talk about empowering yourself with language use, let's not use an entire other language as a foil in your communications. Be better than that, people. But I suppose I shouldn't just refer to people when I say writers. We've talked about artificial intelligence in the writing world before. Here's your next story. Did you catch how an AI bot was let loose on Reddit recently? It posted. It responded to others. People were in conversation with a bot and had no idea. And it didn't always end well. Creepy? Cool? Disturbing? Definitely something to keep an eye on. And just now I'm realizing that this episode's language news updates are all kind of downers, typos, offensiveness, AI causing some trouble. So let's end with two stories that can turn this around. It might not be a word per se that you should know, but both cats and dogs have been in communication headlines in the past week for what they know. A woman in Tacoma, Washington, has taught her dog, a sheepadoodle, how to communicate by pressing buttons that say words aloud. And scientists have now confirmed the intimacy of a slow blink from a cat, and/or how a cat understands a slow blink from people as affection. You know you're intrigued. Details, as always, in my show notes at getagriponyourgrammar.com. Now, I'm coming off an inspiring weekend spent with a lot of writers, wordsmiths, and creatives. So personally, my soul feels truly fed for the first time in a long while. Surrounding yourselves with artists and creatives is one way to feel like you can shout poetry or a manifesto from the rooftop and be heard. And that's a good feeling. Not one that surrounds us every day, to be sure. But this got me thinking about the language of what we write. Let's start with poet, which might strike up so many ideas, but when we get down to the root of it, the literal, etymological root, poet comes from the Greek word meaning to make. It's also connected to an older Sanskrit word meaning to gather. Whether you consider poetry something beautiful, something powerful, something profound, or something unrelatable, This word origin story has to stick with you just a bit. Poets have been highly esteemed in cultures across the world for centuries, for they have been the makers. They have been the gatherers. There's power there worth remembering. And then for some reason, something in the air is making me think about the word manifesto. Manifesto has a bit of a spectacular flair to it, in my opinion, and maybe that's just the Italian style of the word giving it some added passion. We all have a sense of this word today, of course, meaning a statement declaring one's ideas, views, or motivations to the public. However, tiptoeing back in time, past Jerry Maguire's The Things We Think and Do Not Say, yep, I said Jerry Maguire, past Mary Wollstonecraft's 1791 Manifesto, A Vindication of the Rights of Women, past Thomas Paine's Common Sense, not quite as far back as the Ten Commandments in the Bible, but somewhere not too far after that time, we have the word manifesto beginning to take shape. It all began with a hand taking hold. In Latin, the combination of manus, of the hand, and festus, which means struck. Manus, festus, first taking on the meaning of being apprehended, someone being caught, was literally struck by the hand. But over time, it evolved into a figurative idea, a statement that could be striking, a statement that makes things clear and obvious. I've heard comparisons between manifestos and clickbait top 10 lists, both designed to grab your attention and to get straight to the easily digestible point. And suddenly you're reading the Declaration of the Rights of Man in a whole new light, aren't you? Thanks for that connection from the Atlantic. Manifestos is clickbait? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe there's something deeper. Next, let's turn to essays. Essays do not always reach the caliber of manifestos, but their root is found in the French word to try. That's one I always love reminding writers, especially students, and anyone in academia. For we who play with words, and yes, that is all of us, whether we realize it or not, we must try, we must make, we must gather, we must make our ideas striking, yet clear, and obvious. Chances are that a dog, of course, cannot compose a poem or a manifesto or an essay via buttons. Yet don't you love that just for a second, the idea was in your head? All right, time for our language challenge. Since we're talking about the language of writing today, let's imagine those words printed on a page. Imagine flipping through those pages so quickly you almost create a breeze of old book smell. You can imagine it, can't you? Now imagine searching through those pages frantically, desperately, trying to find something within them. There are two different words that could describe these different actions. You could riffle through the pages or rifle through the pages. Oh, the detail of that second F. Riffling or rifling. They both can be true, but what do they mean? Do you know? The answer, as always, in my show notes. For my personal update today, as you might have gathered, I do a lot of speaking at writing conferences with writing groups, with aspiring writers, and with communicators across a wide variety of professional settings. And for me, my fall is always packed with events, one after the other after the other, and somehow this year is no different. For example, last weekend I spoke at the James River Writers Conference in Richmond, Virginia. Next weekend, I'll be speaking at the Broadleaf Writers Association Conference in Atlanta, Georgia. And of course, when I'm naming cities right now, it is 2020, all of this is virtual. I'm across the globe, but sitting at my desk at home. What a strange world we live in. And it's funny because it's putting a different spin on connecting with other writers right now. I love connecting with wordsmiths, communicators, creatives, whatever you want to call yourself. In some ways, we're able to connect more than ever, right? You're listening to me from your car, as you're going for a walk, as you're folding laundry, or whatever you happen to be up to right now. It's going to be fascinating how the years to come are transformed by everything happening in 2020. And yes, that includes our communications. I still have quite a number of writing and storytelling events before the close of 2020. Hello, virtual book launch, but more on that coming soon. Right on, writers. Keep changing the world in ways big and small with those words of yours. It truly is amazing what any single one of us can do. Are you curious or confused about the words that you use every day? For more information on language news, trivia, tips, and explorations, I invite you to sign up for my monthly newsletter at getagriponyourgrammar.com. That's also a great place to learn more about my books, Get a Grip on Your Grammar, the Novel Editing Workbook, and coming soon, the Family Story Workbook. Thank you so much for those of you who have taken the time to review or rate this podcast. It truly means so much. And if you haven't, why don't you head over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google or Stitcher or wherever you listen and do so. Thank you so much. As always, I invite you to share your latest writing updates or insights with me. Until next time, words, language, communication. We've got this.